Welcome back to the Lawn Hustle, the podcast where we highlight the innovators, the grinders, and the hustlers that are making a difference in our industry. Today's guest is a special guest, Erica Crouppen from Crouppen's Poopin' Scoopin', and this is the second show that we've had the opportunity to record with her. So, Erica, welcome back to the Lawn Hustle.
Thank you for having me back. It's been too long.
Yes, ma'am. Well, 2 weeks ago, you and I were at a event with Naylor Taliaferro and the LCR Media. We attended the LCR Summit. I want to ask you, what was your biggest takeaway from the LCR Summit?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. This was my second time attending. Unfortunately, I missed the first one, and I'm very sad that I missed that. But coming back this second time and seeing a lot of familiar faces and to see how folks have grown their business and to be able to see how Naylor and the team, they were able to bring new information to when they spoke. There was a lot. I mean, I have a notebook full, literally full of things. One of my biggest takeaways was from Paul Jamieson with the content creation. It was getting really clear with my messaging to who I was speaking to, who my ideal client was. And for me, I've been kind of confused on my social media for my personal and then also for my business because I have my Pooper Scooper business, which is local. But then I also have the podcast and I have the social media and I have brands that I work with. And it got very muddy and I felt like I was very confused. I came back and I said, okay, we're going to clean up this business page. Who is that ideal client, that ICP, ideal customer profile? Who am I trying to speak to? And all of the content that I'm going to be creating on Crouppen's Poopin' Scoopin' page is going to speak specifically to that customer. That's what I came back and did. I started cleaning it up.
Well, let me make a book recommendation since you mentioned Paul Jamieson's class. And it's called .com by Brunson Russell. It's a great book. And he brings out some of the things that Paul brought out in his presentation, in his book. And I started reading it, and I got excited about my business. I've been in almost 17 years now in the green industry, and I am on the tail end of my business. I actually have a company that wants to buy me out. So my wife is a school teacher. She has one more year until she could retire. And so I'm starting to think about the exit game, but I'm excited about knowing who I want to work for, finding out where they are and where I should target those prospective clients. So Paul's presentation was great, and I also really enjoyed Eric Triplett's presentation. Just amazing stuff on knowing your customer, knowing their personality, knowing how they're going to relate to you and to your business. And one of my biggest takeaways, though, was Naylor, when he talked about the four seasons, that just really hit home how that we, in the spring, we plant. In the spring, we are preparing for the summer rush. In the summer, you know, we're going through our business. And right up into the fall of the year, when you transition into the winter and you go to rest, just like the soil does. And then you get it ready for the next spring. So I thought that was my first time to ever be able to attend the LCR Summit. And I look forward to next year's already. I plan on going. That's how much of an impact it made on me that I'm already planning on going again. So our guest today, she turns poop into profit. And she is building a seven-figure business. Sometimes the best business model is the simplest idea. I would have never thought to start a poop and scooping business, but it's someone that looked beyond the norm and saw an opportunity. So can you explain to us how you started thinking about this business and what inspired you to just jump in?
You know, I really wish I had some type of deep, really some deep thought out plan. I guess I hated my job where I was working. It's not that it was a bad job. It was security. I worked at U of M Hospital as a pharmacy technician. I basically got the job handed to me because my aunts worked there, and I didn't deserve that job. I didn't deserve to actually still be there because my attendance was so terrible. But I had people that saw things in me that I didn't quite see in myself. And this is a common theme throughout my life. A lot of people, when they talk about me, Erica's very confident. I walk with confidence. I talk with confidence. Erica's a confident person. I am actually not a confident person. I'm just really good at showing up confidently when I need to. But behind closed doors, it's something that I have an inner critic that's always telling me, you're not good enough. You're not doing good enough. You have to keep pushing forward. And that's good, right? Because you want to achieve goals. I want to achieve things. But sometimes it's very painful because I can't just relax. So back then, even though I knew it was a nice, cozy job, I just knew that there was something else out there for me, and I just knew there was something better. I decided I wanted to go to school because I wanted to get out of the pharmacy, and I was telling one of the pharmacists I was working with that I was going to go to school. I'm like, I'm going to go to school for pharmacy. And I remember him looking back at me, and he's like, Erica, you're just, like, fun and cute. Like, you should just do something like that. Like, pharmacy is really hard, like, really hard. You have to study a lot, and that's just really not for you. And I remember thinking, yeah, maybe I'm not smart enough to do something like this. And that kind of got my head turning, and it kind of got me into a bad headspace. And I went to school, though. I said, okay, I'm not going to do pharmacy. I'm going to become a physical therapist assistant. And I can tell you what, I had to take every class twice. Every single class. I struggled. I had to have my husband edit my papers for me because I had to take classes to even get me up to college level because that's how illiterate I was. I couldn't even put together a full paragraph. I did so poorly in high school, I shouldn't have even graduated. But once again, I don't know what it was. The teacher liked me. She saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and she ended up passing me. That's the only reason why I even graduated high school was because of that teacher. So when I didn't, you know, fast forward, when I didn't get into the physical assistant program because there was only a certain amount of spaces, I was like, oh, no, my husband put so much time and energy into me. Like, I'm a failure. I can't even get into the school. He's going to be so upset with me. And I remember just calling him. I said, hey, I got to tell you, I didn't get into the program, and I just went silent. And he went silent, too, and I hate that. I can't stand silence. And I was like, well, what do you think? And he's like, well, what do you think? I was like, can I be super transparent with you? I'm relieved. I struggled. But that's the one thing about me is it doesn't matter how hard it is, I'm still going to try to figure it out. Like, yes, I didn't pass the class that I needed to. I got a C. That's failing, technically. So I drove from U of M Hospital after working a midnight shift. We worked 10s. And I would drive all the way to Flint, Michigan to take a class that I needed to take to apply for this program. And then from there, I would drive home, rinse and repeat, and I did that for a full semester. And this was during the Flint water crisis time. I didn't get into the program. He says, good, because I need you home. It's chaos here. We had little kids at home at the time. And at that time, a friend of mine was like, hey, you want to go to a Premier Designs jewelry show? I said, I don't even have money to do that. I had to borrow $50 to go to this show just to have something. And I bought this necklace that was like way overpriced. But I met this woman, Melissa, and she's like, you're super bubbly. I think you would do really good with this. I said, girl, I got a lot going on right now. I can't. Well, I didn't get in the program. I had some time that freed up. I learned how to do sales. It was direct marketing sales, which led me to doing camera stuff because I did a lot of online sales and jewelry shows. And I got in front of people. I learned how to structure scripts. I learned how to read people, which all led me to standing in my kitchen when I was looking at my husband. I was watching my dog go to the bathroom outside. And my husband's last name is Crouppen. So that's where Crouppen's Poopin' Scoopin' comes from. Because it was something him and his brothers joked around about ever since they were kids. And I always liked my husband. I had a crush on him since I was like 5 years old. And I was just, I'm committed. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you, I commit. So we had to go through some stuff and we ended up coming back together. I asked him that day, I said, hey, can I start that poop scooping business that you talked about? And he was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, can I use the name? He says, yeah, sure. And the next day I filed for the DBA. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that I was capable enough to scoop dog poop and I could put all the rest of the pieces together. So that's what I've spent the last 7 years is just building this puzzle of what the business is going to look like and what Erica's life moving forward is going to be.
So when you started, did you start full-time or did you start as a side hustle?
Oh, it was a side hustle. Yeah, because I was still working at U of M. I don't know if I was working there full-time or part-time. Because I disliked it so much, I bounced between like full-time and part-time and full-time and midnights and days. And I would like convince my husband of why we could afford to not have me work there full-time, which really wasn't a good idea. But my sanity just wasn't, I needed to not be there. But there was a point where I was working full-time at the hospital, and then I was doing my business part-time, and then a switch happened to where I went part-time, and then the business started to grow and grow and grow, and finally it got to a point where I could not do both of them anymore, and I told my husband, I said, I'm very, very close to having to quit at the hospital, and I was like, I need to make sure that I replace my hospital income, which was $30,000. I needed to put money away for retirement, which that is like, it was 500 and some change per month. And I needed to be able to provide healthcare. Once that happened, it was my first full year in business. So it ended up being like maybe 16, 18 months. I hit six figures. I waltzed into that office and I said, I got to talk to you, Trish. And she's like, are you quitting today? And I said, no, I'm going to give you my 2 months. So I gave them a 2 month notice that I was out of there. And that was right before the pandemic.
So walk us through your business model. Is it subscription based, weekly route? Is it a per visit pricing? What is your business model as far as client services?
I will say it has changed over the years, but this is what I find is working the best now. It's a subscription model. That means a customer signs up with us for reoccurring service. It could either be once a week, twice a week, or every other week. They pay their fee, which is on the first of the month. We charge them at 9 p.m. with their credit card on file through Jabber. And that prepays for the entire month. And then we show up based upon the frequency that they want us. That is the bread and butter of our company. We do offer one-off services. So if a person's like, hey, we just want you to come and do a one-off clean because for whatever reason, we do those as well. But our main goal is to always try to convert those one-offs into reoccurring. And this was a word switch or maybe a word trick that I learned at LCR Summit instead of thinking of your customers, right? Customers are one-off. Our clients are long-term because that's where we're building relationships with these folks. And that's my mindset is my clients are one-offs, but we want them. Oh, no, customers are one-off. I want to build a relationship. I want to continue for the 7 years that they're going to keep us.
So from a logistics standpoint, what does a normal day look like for Erica Krupen? How many yards do you service? How many customers do you serve?
Okay. So I'm not in the field anymore because I have two full-time staff members. So my day looks a little different. Do you want me to say like what a day would look like if I was in the field?
Sure.
Okay. So if I was in the field, at like 7:30 a.m., I would look at my route, make sure that it was in the correct order, make sure I set myself up for success, make sure my lunch is packed, I have all my hydrating stuff, I have all my snacky snacks, I have all my tools, my truck is stacked the way that it needs to. And then by 8 a.m., I'm on the road. I want to be to my first house no later than 8:10 or 8:15. So if I'm starting out far away, I'm going to leave my house earlier to make sure I'm at that first property. Send the client an on-the-way text message. Hey, this is Erica. On the way to scoop. I scoop the yard. I sanitize my supplies. I send them a text message. Hey, this is Erica. You've been scooped. Your gate is closed and secured. Have a wonderful day. I rinse and repeat that between 23 and 28 times a day. And we end the day by like 4:35. That's if I was in the field. Yeah. Now, because I'm in the office, very similar. I wake up in the morning. I talk to my staff. Send them a message, check my schedule to see what I have on the schedule. And then my virtual assistant, Nina, she says, what are your top three priorities for today? And one of them needs to be Bible reading because I have to put the Lord first because the Lord is the only reason why I survived last year with this business. I feel like if I wouldn't have leaned into him, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now because I wouldn't be in business. So the Lord is one of my top threes. And then I want to have one that's family. And then as for the business, one thing, what am I working on that one thing that day that's going to push me forward? Because if not, I'll have like 15 or 20 things that I'm trying to work on. And by the end of the day, I'm like, you did nothing. You did nothing today.
Well, how do you get customers? What marketing channels work best for you?
Okay. Google. Okay, if you got money. Like if you have money to put into ads, which I put in about this year, I put in about probably $18,000 so far this year into ads. Spring Rush was like $13,000 and some change. Your Google. Google's going to be your most verified customers. These are the ones that are intentionally looking for you. They went in there and typed in Pooper Scooper. So they're going to be easier to convert. They are more expensive because they're more qualified. I was told max out your Google. Like that's the main one. Max that out as much as you possibly can. Then Facebook is my second. I do paid and I do organic content. So I do paid ads. Those are hyper-targeted in the background. I have an actual company that takes care of that for me now. And then I create organic content, which is my videos and the pictures and stuff that I post. If you pay attention to my stuff now, it's getting super focused. Like I'm calling out, hey, Westland dog owners, hey, Canton dog owners, because I'm trying to talk to those people right away in that hook.
Is that because you've decided that they are your ideal customer?
Well, I already knew who my ideal customer was. My thing is I get bored, right? So I'm like looking at my page. I'm like, I'm super bored. So I want to start sharing different stuff. It's just, what's unfortunate about it is I like variety, but variety is confusing. Okay. If I need for my ideal customer to see my page and know that I'm speaking to them, it has to be so consistent and I have to show up the same. And I know this with my branding because I do this time and time again, but I let my social medias almost become a reflection of like how I was feeling and what was going on in my brain. And it was like, what's going on over here?
So what has been your best performing marketing strategy?
Ooh, Well, this year I doubled my business. So it was putting money into paid ads and hiring a company to do it. I'm not a Google SEO person. I'm not a Facebook SEO person. So taking the time and trusting a company, finding a company that I want to use and just letting them do their thing. So then I could on my end shine where I shine.
A lot of our listeners run lawn care companies. Do you get referrals from your local lawn care companies?
Yes, but there has been an issue with this only because you guys have your routes, right? You service your houses on Mondays, your Tuesdays. We do as well. So I was finding conflicting schedules. Like the one guy was like, hey, I want you to come scoop before we get there to mow. I'm like, I don't service that person until Friday. But as we're starting to grow, we're going to start getting more flexibility. Because I live in Westland and a couple of my other staff members live in specific cities that are close, we're going to start being able to offer any day scooping, like Monday through Friday in these specific cities. So now there's going to be more flexibility. So I will be able to work with landscapers. The other issue that I'm running into is I know a lot of people are leveling up their business, and I know a lot of lawn guys and landscapers are wanting to become more professional, but I'm really running into a lot of them not having a CRM, not having things organized, and I can't handle that. Because of how I run my business, in order for me to partner up with somebody, I need for them to be in aligned with not necessarily using Jabber, but they have to have some type of organization, because I can't have the miscommunication happen. Because if I refer one of my customers to them and then they're just not showing up because it rained and you didn't say anything to the customer, they're used to me saying, hey, it's raining today. This is what to expect. We're going to scoop you tomorrow, or we're going to scoop you on Thursday. I have found a couple companies that are in a line, and I'm super excited to work with them next year.
We're going to take a short break and listen to a word from our show sponsor, EarthaPro.
Tired of chasing payments and losing track of jobs? EarthaPro back office software makes it simple for solo guys and small lawn care and landscaping crews. Schedule, invoice, and organize all in the same place. We also have a mobile app and integrate into QuickBooks. Sign up at earthapro.com with promo code TheLawnHustle11 for a $50 Amazon gift card, 10% off, and personalized onboarding. EarthaPro, you run the outside work, we run the office.
So let's talk money.
Yeah.
That's what we're all trying to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the revenue or the profit potential for a business like yours?
There's a lot of profit potential. I guess if we're going to start with a solo scooper can make like $120,000, $130,000 a year, maybe a little bit more depending on, you know, your prices and where you're working. If you're a solo scooper, you're working a lot. You're working a lot, I mean, all the time, but your profits are going to be so much higher because you're not having to pay for all that overhead. I mean, it's over 50%, maybe even over 70% with profit margins. It's been a long time since I've been a solo scooper.
Well, when I would think,
go ahead.
I would think that the profit margin has to be pretty high because your expenses are relatively lower than a lawn care business, because I dropped almost $70,000 on 3 new mowers. So
yeah, we don't have that. It's mainly your vehicle, depending at how you're going to, if you're going to buy it, if you're going to, lease it or get a payment on it, that's overhead. You do have to have some type of insurance, which is typically pretty low. So you have to have vehicle insurance and then some type of general liability insurance. If you have a CRM that's going to help manage all of your customers to keep track all of that data, that's a little bit pricey. Your gas is going to be one of your higher expenses because of travel. And then your payroll, whatever you're paying yourself. Your supplies are super low because you have a bucket, a rake, and a trash bag, and a sanitizer. company, you know, your uniform, which can be relatively low. If you can't afford branded stuff right away, you can just go buy like a shirt that's in your brand color from Walmart or Amazon these days. It's very low. I, on the other hand, like, I'm not cheap. I knew that I wanted to grow this business. So the moment that I could, I hired somebody, I invested in a jobber, I started working on my branding, I got a better accountant because the one prior I knew wasn't saving me enough money and wasn't educating me enough. And so every single year, I just keep leveling up. And last year and towards the end of the year prior, I did a complete rebrand, right? So I reinvested probably $10,000 to $12,000 into the rebrand and what Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin' looks like today. So when I talk about profit margins, it's kind of, I've reinvested every dollar that I possibly can back into the business, but I'm able to do that because I have my social media company that generates income, and then also I have my husband, he has a full-time job. So it's not like I'm running a household to where everybody's relying on me. So when it comes to like the profit margins and like how much money I have left over, I will reinvest every dollar. I don't care. Because I want to see this business grow to where it needs to be.
And invest in yourself.
Yeah.
By going to the LCR Summit or Equip Expo or another event that someone's putting on, buying books, reading, investing in education for yourself. All of those things matter. And since I met you the first time, I was driving down the road and I look up and there's a Poopin' Scoopin' truck right in front of me at the red light. I've seen two different companies in my city, which is 17,000 people. But what about in your area? Is your field, is it growing? Are you gaining more competitors? Anyone can buy a mower and a trailer and call themselves a lawn care company, but there's a lot more to it than just buying a mower and a trailer. So what about your competitors? Are you seeing more companies come up in your area? And does your line of work, do they have the chuck in the truck or the Dan in the van?
Yeah, we call it a Bucket Bob or Scoop It Steve. Yeah, we see it a lot. A lot of times we'll get the Bucket Bob and the Scoop It Steve will pop up around spring rush because that's when the snow melts and people are going crazy. That's when people are actively looking for pooper scoopers or posting in all of the groups. And that's why I spend, because that's only 6 weeks. That's 6 weeks of like go time. And I spend the rest of the year planting seeds with either advertisement or the organic content that I'm putting on social media, building the relationships. Yes, there's a lot more companies because success leaves clues, right? I've been very vocal about the success that I've had. We also have the Poop Scoop Millionaire over on this school platform. He's teaching, well, him and like a whole group of people are teaching other people how to start pooper scooper businesses. So, yes, a lot more competition is coming into the game. But what people are failing to understand is this is not a get rich quick. It doesn't matter how much content I put out there and I show the good, the bad, and the ugly. People only want to focus on the fact that I was able to make six figures. And it's like, yeah, but there's so much more that goes into it. So then they leverage themselves. They get all this overhead. And then they go into the summer months, which that's the slowest time, and they're freaking out because they have all these business bills, but they're not getting customers. It's like you got to understand the seasonality, and you have to be in it. Like you have to be so focused and understand that you're playing the long game here. And I hear other business owners get a little nervous because they're like, now we're getting more competitors. Is it market becoming too saturated? It's like, come on, man. We have, what, 5 scoopers in the area? That's saturated. How many landscapers do we have? How many snow guys do we have? Window washers, garage guys. If we really look at all the other businesses, compare, like, their industries compared to ours, it's not nearly as saturated. Yeah, we have to learn how to sell a little bit more. We have to learn how to close. We have to actually put in more effort because there's another company. But that's fun. That's the part of business that I think a lot of owner-operators get caught up in, because it's easy once you get the customers and you're in the field and you have your head down. But when you have to get out of the field and you have to learn KPIs, you have to learn how to market, you have to understand what your CAC is and your churn, that's when people start to like glitch out and they're like, wait, what? It's more than just scooping dog poop?
We, in lawn care, we make most of our money in the spring.
Yeah.
And then we make quite a bit of money in the fall of the year. It's that summer, the hot days of summer, when it's 105 degrees and the humidity is 70%. And I have found a lot of guys want to get into lawn care when they're slinging mulch, when they're busy. But when it gets hot, I'll get phone calls. My phone blows up in the summer because of people just quit showing up and don't even call or contact the homeowner. They just quit showing up. And then I like to call them, you know, like we've said before, the chuck in the truck, or it's the guys that get laid off from the factory. And then when it gets hot and they realize there's more to running a lawn care business than just making all that quick cash in the spring.
Yep.
You got to get through those dog days of summer and get back into the fall of the year where you're making more money. But I just find it interesting that your field and my field, though they're different, there's a lot of similarities to our industries and, you know, your clients, gaining new customers, working hard to make that customer into a client that gives you recurring revenue, knowing your numbers, knowing, you know, what you need to bring in to turn that profit and to have a, you know, a lot of guys, they can have great top dollar revenue and have terrible bottom dollar revenue because they blow the money as soon as it comes in. I would guess there's probably a high percentage of lawn care companies in my area that never save a winter fund. And then if we don't get snow, they're selling their mowers every year during the winter, and then they got to come up with enough money to buy a mower for the spring rush. It's because that top dollar revenue might be great. That bottom dollar revenue is horrible because they just blow their money and spend and don't budget and have no clue how to run and operate a business. You know, it's.
And I feel this because my husband, he's seasonal too. So my husband does tree work. He works for a company. And every winter, it's always, do we got enough money saved up? How much money we have saved up? Because even though my business stays consistent through the winter, we always had so much debt. There was always something. There was always so much payment or something over us. And you have to accommodate for that. And kind of like what Naylor was talking about, not kind of, actually what Naylor was talking about, is if when you go into the winter, it's the time for rest. Josh and I could never rest peacefully in the winter because we were always so worried about money. Like, are we going to be able to make it to spring and have enough money? And last year was really, really, it was really tight for us. We barely made it last year, but luckily we were able to figure it out and pull all of our resources together to be able to get through to spring. I had my spring rush, my business. We brought in, it was like $30,000+, maybe 38. I'd have to fact check that. In March, right? So that business, boom, spring rush blew up. My husband gets back to work. And we just kind of looked at each other. We're like, we're not going to go through another winter like this. So what are we going to do? Him and I went crazy. We're sharing a car right now, a personal vehicle. I still have my company fleet. That's on the fleet. That's working. But as for personal, we eliminated $113,000 worth of debt this year.
Wow.
We made sure that we have $18,000 put away for winter because that's going to cover our winter bills. this will be the first winter that we will be able to rest.
Congratulations. That is awesome. We are on the debt-free journey ourselves. We've paid off about $17,000 in stupid credit card debt.
Yeah.
And we paid off the van 2 years early. Our house is on track to be paid off in 2 years. That'd be about 8 years sooner than it's supposed to be paid off. And so we're on that journey, and I've gotten to the point now where I don't want to buy anything unless I can pay cash for it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to buy anything unless it is an absolute necessity that I buy it for my business. I'm using trimmers and blowers longer than I used to. About every other year, I'd run out and buy a whole new fleet of blowers and new trimmers. And I thought, well, that's crazy because they still work. They're not as shiny. But that shine doesn't make me money. Exactly. It's that trimmer that's working. And I know that equipment. I know when it's been serviced. I know all about it. So it just works for us. So we tightened up the screws. And I can tell you this. Last year, my business had almost a 30% profit margin.
That's beautiful.
That was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of sacrifice. It was a lot of dedication. But 30% of what came in stayed in the business. And a lot of guys are lucky if they get a 10% profit margin.
It's true. I mean, I've been there. Last year, we were in the red last year with the accidents that we had, because I had two company vehicle accidents that happened. And both those vehicles were fully wrapped. That was during the whole process of the rebranding. And then my husband, he started his tree service and he financed some stuff. And so we're like looking at like the end of the year, and it's like we made no money last year. Like I don't even know how we're living right now, but we're living. The Lord blessed us to keep on going. But I think you have to go through years like that. Josh and I were talking about it. And when he started his tree service last year, I could have easily been one of those wives that would say, no, absolutely not. It's not happening. You're not cut out for business. I don't want to go through this. But I looked at my husband. I was like, he needs to go through this. He needs to go through this. So I was like, yep, I'm right there with you. We'll figure this out. Some great decisions weren't made because money was spent very, very quickly. Loans were taken out. And then when he realized he's a really good climber, right? He makes really good money as a climber. But when it comes to having to go out, the stress, you know, the stress of having to go find jobs to cover that stuff. My husband is a 9 on the Enneagram. My husband does not like stress. My husband likes everything to be great. He just wants everything to be chill, his homeostasis. And me, on the other hand, like I'm a 3. I'm like, give me all the stress. I got this. Let's go. But seeing him being so sick to his stomach, trying to figure out what he was going to do, I was like, just go back to work. It's okay. You can do both. You're going to have to do both because we have to figure this out. But watching him struggle and do both all through the year, I finally looked at him and I said, you're just working to work at this point. You're getting off at your day job. You're coming home. You're chasing estimates. And then you're just paying your business bills. There's no money. There's no profit. And so he sat on that for a couple weeks. And we talked. I said, why don't we just sell everything, Josh? We'll get rid of all the debt. Like, I mean, let's get rid of everything. And he sat on that for a little bit. And he was like, all right, let's make it happen. So we got rid of all the business stuff. We sold off his beautiful truck. My husband had a beautiful truck. That's why we're driving around in a vehicle together. I'm dropping him off at work right now. But it's like we leaned into each other and we just decided on a goal that we wanted to become debt-free. It's not going to be glamorous. It's going to take a lot of sacrifices, but we have each other and we're just going to move forward and we're going to build the life that we want to build and eventually get to our lake house. Because, like, what are we doing this for? What is this life for? Why are we building our businesses? And so we had to really sit down and figure out, like, what do we want in the grand scheme of things? My husband wants a boat. He wants a lake house. He wants his hair flowing in the wind while he's driving the boat. Okay, cool. That's great. But it's like you need time. You need time to be able to do that stuff. And you need money to be able to do that stuff. And we get so in the rat race of, we got to have these vehicles. We have to have the new things we have to purchase. For me, I was like, I would go get Botox like every 3 months because I didn't want my face to move because I'm aging. It's like $500, $600, the new clothes, the Gucci belt, the new this. And it's why? If you just really slow down and look at what's important to you, all of that stuff is so unnecessary. And I dropped my husband off at work this morning and we had the dog with us. And I thought to myself, I said, I feel like I've arrived. I have a husband that loves me. My dog's enjoying this dog ride. The sun's beautiful. We got to have great conversation to and from work. Before this, my husband and I really weren't spending a lot of time together because I was so busy working and he was so busy working. Now we get dedicated time to and from work, no phones, because I'm driving. I can't have my phone in my hand, to be able to talk and connect. And it's been one of the biggest blessings. And so I'm happy that he went through that last year and we went through that together because it brought us closer and it was a huge eye-opening experience. And I'm just so excited to see what the future lies for the both of us.
Well, I think sometimes in your industry and in my industry, we can get so busy trying to build a business that we fail to build a life. And it brings so much stress, pressure. It affects our mental state of mind. It brings confusion. And then when someone really don't know where they stand, it becomes easy to snap at your spouse or snap at your kids. And that creates home life stress and pressure. So now not only do you have the business stress, you have the home life stress. And if we don't learn how to handle it and funnel that stress in the right direction, it will destroy us mentally. It will destroy us, our mental state of mind. And it's so important. I started leaving my shop when I returned after the last job for the day. And I backed the trailer into the shop, disconnect, and I drive home. I'll sit in the parking lot at the shop for about 10 or 15 minutes, just reflecting over the day, how things went. What could I have done different? What could I have done better? What can I do tomorrow to make me better than I was today? And I try to, when I pull out of the parking lot, I leave all the stress there. I don't want to bring none of that home. Because my wife and my kids, even though they're adults now, they don't deserve me to come home and just unload a bunch of stress and pressure on them. So it's stressful running a business. It's stressful trying to be successful. And one thing I've learned, and I can't be a good business owner and be a lousy husband.
Yeah.
Because the business is going to affect the home life. The home life is going to affect the business. I got to be who I am in both places and learn how to funnel that stress and that pressure and be able to recognize when it's coming on, when I'm feeling that stress.
Yeah. And what I kind of realized is my husband goes to work and he comes home, right? So he gets home at what, like 5? By that time, the day's beat me up. I've dealt with customers. My husband's not seeing, he is not getting the best version of Erica. He's not getting the version that other people see online or meetings that I have at a lunch date or a conversation I have with somebody in the morning. Because in the morning time, before I was driving him to and from work, we were just doing our own thing. And so he was getting like only the little pieces of Erica for so long. And when I finally realized that, I was like, I need to make some changes. Like, I need to make a ton of changes because it's not fair. It truly isn't. But luckily, I have a patient husband. You know, he's dedicated. He's committed. And at LCR Summit, I was chatting with Charles Nelson because we went to Zombie Taco and we had some tacos. And he was showing me some stuff with the business when it comes to, like, numbers and tracking your numbers. And I just kind of, like, we asked him some questions about his home life, and he's got little kids. And he told me that when he comes home, he takes his phone and his Apple Watch, and he leaves it in the garage. So when he comes into the house, he's hanging out with his family. And I specifically remember I said, well, what do you do? What do you – no phone? Like, what do you do? He's like, spend time with my family. I said, and do what? Puzzles. He says he does puzzles.
Wow.
If I were to come home and tell my husband, be like, baby, guess what? We're about to do a puzzle. His heart would combust with joy. He loves puzzles. And I would never even thought to do that. But it's something so simple of budgeting my time, prioritizing. And that was another takeaway that I brought away with LCR Summit is budgeting my time, getting focused, so then that way I can spend that quality time with my husband. Because at the end of the day, like, looking around, it's like, what is it? I already have the good stuff at home. The good stuff is literally right in front of my face. Money would be cool, but it doesn't matter how much money I have if I have a broken marriage.
Right. That is so true and so good. My wife and I have been married for 36 years.
That's beautiful.
And it's not always been easy. Yeah. You know, there's been times that I have failed as a husband. And I'm just being real with our listeners. Because I think before you can become better, you have to be honest. And there's been times that I have failed. I have made mistakes. I haven't been what I should be. And there are times when I have strayed away from my relationship with God. And I have found that in those times, that's when I took things out on my wife more. Because things just weren't right with me. So when I had to revisit a prayer chamber and recommit myself to God, to my relationship with Him, then I found I could recommit my relationship with my wife and work on things. You see, when we were dating all those years ago, we talked about getting married, and we said there's one word that we'll never use in our marriage, and that word's divorce. Too many people walk out way too soon, way too early. And it's easy to get out. But we determine we're never going to use divorce. If we get in an argument, we're not going to throw up. Won't you just get out? Because what if I said that to her and she said, okay, and she walked out, she's gone. You know, so we have built and worked on our relationship. And I feel like we have a good marriage. We have great kids that are productive citizens. Our son is has cerebral palsy, and my wife was only six months pregnant when she had him, and they said he would never live, but he weighed a pound and 13 ounces when he was born. He had no fingers, no toes. We watched those develop in the incubator. He was 8 weeks in the neonatal intensive care. And so we've been through our hard times. We've been through our struggles. But we're still here and we're still together. And whatever I can do to make life better for her, I want to do that. And she's the same way. She would tell you the exact same thing. Whatever I can do to make life better for him, that's what I want to do. So, and that's something you got to learn, mm-hmm. something you got to determine that you're going to do it. And
it's a servant's heart right yeah. there. Because it's so easy to be like, well, what are you doing for me? Right. How is this going to benefit me? And I remember quite a few times it wasn't really anything to do with Josh. It was just I was unhappy with how the business was going. I was unhappy with something that was going on with me. And he specifically would be like, I'm not the enemy, Erica. Like, I'm not against you. You're not against me. And it took me a while to really mature that we're doing this together. Yes, he's not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person either, but we're going through life together. And there's something that's so comforting that it's like we're doing life together.
Yeah. Well, I had to determine. Bad days. I had to determine to learn how to shut off business and turn on family time. Have those date nights. I think someone even mentioned that at the LCR summit, you know, a date night.
Naylor, you know, he says a regular date night and then second date night to Costco. If yeah. you know, you know.
Yeah. You don't have to go out, you know, something expensive every time. Just spend some time together. Go to Walmart if you want to and shop and hold hands. It's a perfect date.
We went to the movies on Halloween, and I snuck in snacks because I'm gluten-free and dairy-free, and they don't have anything. So we went to Meijer, and I got potato chips, raspberries, and some gluten-free, dairy-free chocolate chips. And I snuck those into my bag, and we watched a movie on Halloween, and we held hands like we were little teenagers.
That's awesome.
It was
great.
It's such a good time, and it wasn't anything crazy expensive either.
I love that. Well, you are an inspiration to me and to people that watch your content, listen to your podcast. And I encourage everyone to subscribe to her podcast, listen to her podcast, watch her videos on Instagram or Facebook, and follow her journey because she's going places and she's doing it the right way. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I know we didn't get into a whole lot of business talk. We did, but we didn't. But I think sometimes this talk that we've had most recently about family, about time, about going through the struggles, I think sometimes that is ignored in our industry, and it's kind of pushed to the back burner. And yes, I want to be successful in business, but more important, I want to be successful in my family. I've got a brother who has went through a divorce, and he has met someone, and they are married, and they have beautiful kids, and things are good for him now. But it wasn't always good for him. He had to go through some hard things to get to the point where he needed to be, to where he focused on himself and tried to change. And I could talk about this kind of stuff all night long. I love this kind of talk.
Me too. Mainly because that's the hard work. That's the inner work to look at and be like, okay, what could I be doing better? Putting down the alcohol, putting down the drugs, putting down the wandering eye, getting rid of those friends that are challenging your relationships or your morals. All of it. I've had to do it all. I had to completely like shake up my entire world to get where I was, where I am today. And at first I was like, this is crazy. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to drink alcohol when I go out on a Saturday night? What do you do on a Saturday night if you don't drink alcohol? Like, where do you go? It's just, it was a lot. So it's like, yeah.
Can I ask you, how long have you been sober now?
March will be 3 years.
Congratulations. That is incredible.
And fun fact, Josh is 1 year sober from alcohol as well. When we came home from LCR Summit last year, we had a great time. He didn't drink because when he's with me, he doesn't drink because it's like, I'm not going to drink. So why is he? And then I'm not really, I don't put myself around people that are drinking. So I will, like, but I'm not going to hang out. It's not really my vibe anymore. We get back from LCR Summit last year. I go out in the garage and he has a beer in his hand. I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just unwinding. I was like, from what? He's like, I don't know, just from the week. And so I just walked away and I just kind of like shook my head and I was kind of just, I was a little disappointed, but I'm like, this, I can't, I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to go and throw out the beer, hide it. Like, I can't be controlling, even though that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to burn the whole house down. I don't know. I was like enraged. But he said he felt convicted in that moment and he finished out that beer. That was it. He hasn't picked one up since.
And had you went to the extreme, it would have created tension between the two of you and probably created some more issue. So that's just awesome. I'm just so happy that things are going well for you. Things are going well for your husband, your family. And I'm just grateful that you came on the show and that we got to talk and kind of open up our hearts and share who we are with our listeners. And just understand, if you're listening to this show, I'm a real person. I have real struggles. I have real problems. But in order to find success, you got to determine every time I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to keep fighting. Erica's a real person. She has real situations, real problems, real struggles. But she gets through it because she's determined. She has set a goal. She knows where she wants to go. She knows what's best for her. And she's going to get there. I promise you that, because I see it in her, the determination to be successful. And I think sometimes we determine success by money, and that's not necessarily the case. It's really not. Success is, have I been loyal and faithful to my family? Have I been loyal and faithful to my wife? Have I been loyal and faithful to my children? Have I been loyal and faithful to my clients? Because they're a part of who I am. And, you know, I want to build those relationships to where I can find success and enjoy life and have a happy retirement. But I just want to continue to work on myself so I can be better tomorrow than I am today. And I thank you, Erica. I think this has been awesome. Thanks for showing us that there's money in every corner of the service industry, even the messy ones. And where can people follow you, get in touch with you if they need your services?
Well, if you're looking for my pooper scooper services, you can look me up on Facebook at croupinspoopinscoopin.com, or you can go to my website, which is www.poopinscoopin.com. And if you want to follow up with me on social media, I have the Scoop Podcast, and then I also have Croupins Poopin Scoopin on YouTube.
Well, I encourage you to follow her journey and watch her succeed, because it's going to happen. I just really, really feel that deep down in my heart right now that it's going to happen. She's going to get there. I love watching her content. Even though she said she's not really a person of confidence, but she's confident in front of people at the right time. And I'm kind of the same way. I don't want to be in front of people or the show. Just let me set up the lights. Let me do something behind the scene. But it's been great talking with you. I appreciate you. And I wish you nothing but success. And we'll have you on for a third time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. And until we talk again, remember, the grass is greener where you water it.